I'm joined by Jen Hogan, Irish Times columnist and mother of seven. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Brendan.
So now I know you're very well networked out there on all the channels, talking to parents and everything. The cold in schools has been a huge issue the last few days, hasn't it?
A huge issue. I mean, some parents have said they've kept their children home, particularly on the Friday, because they were so cold in school on the Saturday. I'm hearing from parents where they're sending their kids in with hot water bottles, layers, coats in class, blankets, teachers reporting the same thing to me, and it's that the cold is just unbearable. Now, what is interesting is there are some parents saying that their children aren't complaining at all, so it obviously differs and varies from school to school. But for those kids who are suffering and teachers who are suffering, they're finding the temperatures in classrooms unbearable.
Yeah, and well, I think the ones that aren't complaining, some of them might be just glad to be there rather than the alternative, I suppose, as well. Listen, Jen, there's another thing that's been knocking around the last few days, which is that there seems to be like 25 to 30% of students out in some schools, and you're thinking they can't all have COVID or whatever. Is there a feeling out there, you think, that the schools are, some schools maybe, being overly cautious about the kids they allow in and the ones they're sending home?
Yeah, there's a bit of everything going on. There's the close contact difficulties, and then there's the children who are sick with COVID, and then there's the children who are out perhaps with other symptoms and so therefore can't go. And then there's the children whose siblings can't go in because they're not vaccinated yet and their sibling perhaps has a symptom which could be deemed to be COVID. And then obviously there's teachers as well who are isolating because they're close contacts or they're sick too. So there's huge difficulties there. But what has been brought to my attention is the number of children who aren't allowed to attend school with very minor symptoms. And one parent got in touch to say that her child wasn't able to go to school because the child had a runny nose. They had 6 negative antigen tests at this stage, but they couldn't attend because the runny nose still was there.
Yeah, but a runny nose is not a reason to keep a child at home, it's not.
It's not on the HSE. According to the HSE, no, a runny nose alone, a child can attend school. But the difficulty is, what do you do then if the school is saying no and also refusing the sibling? Do you have a standoff? I mean, how do you kind of get around that?
Yeah, and listen, I think some parents are afraid to send kids in because there's the ultimate mortification then of getting a phone call and your child being sent home. Yeah.
And that's the other case. Parents say that their kids are being sent home for symptoms. And again, it's a very, very difficult situation for both parents and schools to navigate because, you know, everybody's trying to be cautious. Nobody wants to have an outbreak in the school or in the class. And when you look at the list of symptoms, there are so many different symptoms. Pretty much everything could be COVID, it feels. But yeah, there is that embarrassment of if you send your child in and they're sent home. And that has happened. And it obviously creates huge difficulties where you have children who have asthma coughs or children perhaps who have sinus difficulties or allergies. Mm. Blocked noses, which are so common at this time of the year, and you've got your child either coming home or not being able to go to school. But as I said, the knock-on effect for the unvaccinated siblings too, who actually cannot attend if there is somebody with symptoms in the house. It's proven hugely problematic.
Well, look at Mary Favier saying even Neffet have their heads melted by the various rules and ramifications.
I heard that.
you mentioned there the close contacts rules, and I know you have an issue as well with the close contacts tax rules for vaccinated children who so far mainly the ones that 12 and teenage years. There's an issue there as well.
There's a real difficulty because obviously the under 16s can't get boosted. And before that, people, when they were getting their children vaccinated, obviously it's to protect them from disease. But a real incentive for parents was also the fact that they wouldn't have to isolate if they were close contact, so they wouldn't miss so much school. And after 2 heavily disrupted years, and let's be honest, this year is also disrupted. They may be in school in theory, but obviously they're still missing huge amounts of school and there's absences with students and teachers alike. But because of the change in close contact rules, which was a big incentive for parents to get their children vaccinated, they're now out of school if they're close contact and missing huge amounts of school again. And there's a lot of parents feeling extreme frustration around this.
And given that a booster is not available to those kids, they've had as much vaccination as they're allowed to have. Yeah.
Exactly. They have done what's been asked of them. They've been vaccinated and they cannot go to school. They're not able to get boosted yet. And there is that whole frustration. Well, why did I do it? Because my reason for doing it, it was that my child would have a less disrupted life.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. And sure, look, Mary Favier mentioned it earlier there as a reason to get the younger kids vaccinated, that it would minimise the disruption to their lives. And listen then, let's layer on top of this one. No, look, we should say, and I'm sure you'd agree as well, that just notwithstanding all this, the teachers mm-hmm. have done an amazing job getting the schools open and keeping Incredible. Them open, and we hope they yeah. will continue to. And I think most people glad the schools are open. There's mm-hmm. another layer of an issue on top of this, and that's testing then. You say there's huge problems there as well.
Well, the testing, I mean, we've been hearing for the last while about how difficult it is to get a PCR test. Now the rules have changed, obviously, around testing and who actually can get tested. But antigen tests, I mean, that has been all over the news, shortages, they're in short supply. But also for anybody who is trying to be responsible and check their children, particularly as we're in the middle of a wave, check their children, check yeah. their families a couple of times a week. Yes, they may have come down, but if you're a family, and now I'm a larger family, so if you look at me and there's nine of us, if I was to buy two boxes of, I mean, yeah. I know I'm yeah. not a typical size family, but if you're buying two boxes of antigen testing, maybe take Dunn's for example, where you could buy them for €12.50, that's €25 to buy two boxes to cover my family, and if we're to do it twice a week, that's €50. Multiply okay. that by four or five weeks in a month, and you have €2.50. Take that down to a more typical size family of five people.
Gotcha.
That's about £125 okay. quid a month still. You know, it's a lot of money. It's okay. a lot. If you can get tests in the first place, that is.
Okay, Jen Hogan, thanks a million.